Shane Van Gisbergen makes it look easy as he dominates the Bank of America Roval 400 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. But it was the battle for the final playoff spot that added high drama to this event. Hi, I'm Doug Rice. I'll be joined by my co-host Alexis Erickson and a cast of others on this special post-Roval edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Greetings and welcome to the show. It's always an extra treat when the NASCAR Cup Series races here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. Oval or Roval, we get to do Fast Talk almost immediately after the race concludes, and that will include a visit from today's winner, Shane Van Gisbergen, his fifth road course victory of the season. I'm Doug Rice, joined by co-host Alexis Erickson. Alexis, it was the outcome we expected, but it was an adventure to get there.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, the majority of folks in and around the NASCAR universe thought that Shane Van Gisbergen was most likely going to get his fifth win of the season here at the Roval. But it was not a foregone conclusion once the race started. He had some challenging, mostly from Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell. And there were a few times there where I wasn't sure if, he was really a little bit behind them or if he was just toying with them, if he was biding his time, that kind of thing. When it was all said and done, though, he was the one that came out on top. And, definitely proved to us why he is, I think, right now the best road course racer we have in the sport.
PRN co-anchor Mark Garrow joining us here. And Mark, usually when somebody wins by 15 plus seconds, you think this just had to be dreadful. But I felt like watching it from the side, it was anything but.
It was a very entertaining race. And it was the kind of race that we expect at the Roval. There is always at least one, if not two, memorable moments, stuff that you take away. It's never a race that just kind of runs according to plan and all that kind of deal. And we had that again today. You had the battle with Van Gisbergen, Kyle Larson, they're slamming paint, slamming doors and trading paint. And then, of course, that wild, dive by Ross Chastain in the final turn.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we need to go.
Speaking of which, let's replay what happened. This is well after the race has been decided. Shane Van Gisbergen won the race like in a different day. But there's a battle going off for the last transfer spot. And it requires Ross Chastain getting ahead of Denny Hamlin to get the last spot and bump Joey Logano out.
Denny Hamlin has passed Chastain. That means Chastain will finish 19th.
Oh, Ross Chastain just spun Denny Hamlin. Alex Bowman gets around Ross Chastain. Chastain now goes backwards, but he loses two, now three spots. Joey Logano passes him in a last-ditch effort. Ross Chastain tried to dump Denny Hamlin to get the one spot he needed. Joey Logano will finish 4 points above the cut line and advance to the round of eight.
And you know what's so interesting about that is here we are in the eighth year of the Roval, and that particular move with Ross coming in and basically dumping Denny Hamlin was so reminiscent of what happened with Martin Truex Jr. and Jimmy Johnson in the inaugural Roval race when Ryan Blaney come through to win it. It reminded me of it instantly because that's exactly what it looked like.
Absolutely. Here's the little thing that Denny Hamlin kind of hinted at the end. Why did I pass Ross Chastain?
Yeah.
I don't. Joey Logano's going home. He's out of the playoffs.
Right, that's a good point.
You don't let Joey Logano off the ground. They did it last year. He made him pay. If you can get Logano out of the playoff, I thought Hamlin's team might have been a little more on top of that.
You know, I never thought of that until you just said that,
either.
Mark. It's the first time I even imagined that, and you're absolutely right. Why would you let him back in the ring?
And it's interesting because when you listen to Denny Hamlin's post-race on television, they asked him if he had any awareness of what was exactly happening then. And he said he didn't know if he was running for 10th or 18th. He wasn't sure. And he certainly didn't know what the playoff picture was at that moment.
And he hinted he would have liked to have known.
Yep.
He wanted. And And he wasn't mad at Ross. Because
no,
they,
no,
are you upset?
No.
Are you going to talk to him? He goes, why? He didn't do anything. Of course, Denny does not have anywhere to hide.
Sure.
This week.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He had
his get out of jail free card went out last weekend. And you know what's funny about it again? As soon as last year, Alex Bowman got DQ'd, Logano got put back in the playoff, I said, guys, you get Dracula on the ground, you better put a wooden stake in his heart. You let Joey Logano and Paul Wolf go to Vegas. They win it again, get 2 weeks to prepare for Phoenix. Again, you're going to wish. Denny Hamlin and everybody else going to wish that Joey Logano was not still in the playoffs.
Yeah, they'd rather have Ross Chastain and have to deal with him
100%.
Than Joey Logano and Paul Wolf.
Yep, 100%.
I never had thought about that. And I'll bet you some of the other competitors say, Denny,
what are you
was
doing,
that spot
man?
Really worth it? Because
yeah,
he gave
kidding.
A really weak argument about picking up a spot to get a better metric for
qualifying
mm-hmm. or something like that.
I believe there will be a little soul searching at Joe Gibbs Racing this week as to why we were not aware of that situation.
Yeah, that's information he should have been given.
We're down to 8 and 4 races to go. Do you have a feel for any one driver right now? We've talked about this for months, and it feels like it's a bubble on the carpet. It keeps moving around underneath.
Well, number one, the heavyweights have come to play.
Yeah.
3 for Hendrick, 3 for Gibbs, 2 for Penske. And we were told when the next-gen car came into play, okay, it's going to be wide open for the first year, maybe a little bit the second year, but eventually the big boys would come to play and start, you know, putting down the numbers they were normally used to. And right now, my gut is telling me, Joey Logano, you just don't let him off the mat.
Yeah.
You just don't. When Logano gets a second win, gets a little burst of confidence, and I like him. I like Blaney. I like Kyle Larson. I really do. And Christopher Bell. Bell always seems to rise to the occasion in this round, and I think he'll be tough at Phoenix, too.
The points are so tight right now, yeah. too. I mean, Hamlin at the top is only +8, and then you have Blaney at +6, Larson at +4, Byron at +4, and then Bell at -4, and then Briscoe, Elliott, and Logano. Is there anyone in the bottom four of Bell, Briscoe, Elliott, and Logano that you feel like, you know, is going to surprise us?
Again, don't give Joey Logano a second chance.
Even though he's right now -24, he's the most long shot.
He's just
going
to go to Vegas and win the race.
Yeah.
So today was your last broadcast here at Charlotte Motor Speedway as
yep.
a co-anchor for PRN. I know a little bit how that feels. And it's been a fun day for you. You've got a lot of family and
yes.
friends here that have been here to celebrate your wonderful career with you. I know that has to make it a little extra special.
It does, Doug, and I want to publicly thank you for helping so much today, being the tour guide and different things that you did. Jerry Horn, Alexis, Barry Roach, everybody at PRN did such a great job to make this a memorable day, and it was a memorable race, so that is something that I'll always get to hold of. And I love the little gift, the helmet with all the playoff drivers signing it. That's too cool.
There's actually more than playoff drivers.
I think if you take a close look at it, you'll notice some.
I'm hoping somebody gives me the list because you can't read half of
I know they snuck a Dale Jr. autograph
there. There is
on
a Dale Jr.
Oh,
on
wow.
there.
Oh, wow. Thank
yep.
you, Dale.
Yep.
Thank
there's
you,
a few
Jr.
really cool ones on there. But you started in your last season. You announced that a couple weeks ago, and you started kind of an interesting tradition, which you got to keep alive today. Can you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, it started by accident. I'm walking by Victory Lane at Bristol, leaving. I go like, yeah, it'd be pretty cool if I could jump up there. Most of the photos had been done. Everybody, you know, and so I jumped up and I asked Christopher Bell, I said, look, my last race at Bristol, would you please take a picture? He said, oh my gosh, didn't know that. More than happy to. So they lined him up on one side of the trophy, me on the other. And of course, Becky Cox, she's going to make sure I get the picture. And at New Hampshire, you know how you walk straight out
yeah.
and you walk to Victory Lane and go like, you know, Blaney's over there. So again, they set up the picture, Blaney on one side of the trophy, me on the other. And when I told Blaney it was my last race, he goes, this ain't respect. And he turned around, he walked over and stood beside me, put his
nice.
Arm on me and took the picture. That meant a lot because
yeah.
he said, look, man, I've been listening to you. My dad raced a long time before he ever raced, right? And we've
right.
been doing those races. And so that was pretty cool. And Shane Van Gisbergen, I brought my daughter Brianna down to Victory Lane, took a picture with the two of us. Hopefully get one at Vegas, and then somebody smarter than me will kind of put it in some yeah. kind of poster form or whatever.
Since it's wrapped up your Charlotte Motor Speedway time, and you and I, until this year, had done every cup race here since 1994.
Wow.
Yeah. That's That's a lot of water.
I'm starting to feel
over
old.
Over the dam, under the bridge.
Mind blow emoji.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Alexis, I don't even know was here.
I was on the earth at that time.
But here's the cool thing. I was one of two people still at the racetrack on the air when Richard Petty won his 200th race. Mike Joy was the other one. Mm-hmm. I was the last one. So now it's down to Mike. And so that's pretty cool to have spanned that far.
Do you have a Charlotte memory? Last question. I know that's a lot of races. And that's a lot of miles. Races. And a lot of races that end at 3 in the morning.
The one memory that kept coming up today is something that I was reminded of again when we were in the press conference today, and that was calling Kevin Harvick to his first win.
Yeah.
And I can never forget me, you know, basically yelling into the microphone with the ghost of Dale Earnhardt looking on. Kevin Harvick has pulled one of the biggest upsets in NASCAR history. And that brought all that back. And then you look at when that was and you go like, oh my, that was a long, long time ago.
Yeah, it was. And I as I told you today, I still feel like because it was so raw and so emotional.
Oh, it was.
That was a Hall of Fame call where you belong one day. Mark.
So do you, by the way.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah.
That would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
We can always hope if we haven't made too many people mad along the way.
Look, as I tell people, you know, when it comes to you and I paired in the booth for a long time, we are in a group of one of the best people to have ever done that. Not the best, just some of the best to ever done it. I really feel that way about myself. I feel that about you and a lot of the guys on our crew as well.
Well, I always felt, and we'll wrap up on this, that you and I could finish each other's sentences without even trying. It became this
crazy
symbiotic relationship. And Mark and I, as Alexis can attest to, we're two different people. You know, Mark's never watched an episode of Star Trek.
But he probably knows all the plot points after doing so many decades with you on the radio.
And there were times where we would be thinking the same thing at the same, and we just start laughing, you know, because we were thinking the same thing at the exact same time.
And that got to be more as we went on. I would start to say something about what was going on in the race, and Mark would say it. And it was like, okay, we're symbiotic. Mark, congrats, man. Great career. Have a good call out in Vegas, okay?
Thank you. Thank you to everybody at PRN that made this a great day. Thank you, guys.
Mark Garrow here on Fast Talk. Coming up a little bit later on, we'll talk with race winner Shane Van Gisbergen and Nick Yeoman from the IndyCar Radio Network and PRN drops by.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
I'm Austin Dillon, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Grab a friend and pack the cooler. Saturday night racing returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway October 18th for the Z-Max Cars Tour Championship. See rising stars like Keelan Harvick compete against short track racing's best in season finals for Pro late model stock, and the Smart Modified Tour. Party down North Wilkesboro style with the Z-Max Cars Tour Saturday, October 18th. For tickets, visit NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179. Tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
in the Performance Racing Network. This is our post-Roval edition of Fast Talk. We're here in the PRN studios just a few hours after they dropped the checkered flag on the eighth running of the Bank America Roval 400. And to no one's surprise, won and dominated by Shane Van Gisbergen. I'm Doug Rice along with Alexis Erickson. Alexis, I was off a little bit. I'm going to pat my own back here. I said on our last show that the margin of victory would be SVG by 6 seconds.
Was it like 17,
I think? It was closer to 17 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I feel pretty good about it, too, because I said last week, you know, it was definitely going to be him in victory lane, and that's about the only time I was really sure of a prediction I've made on this show.
Nick Yeoman, who works a lot of races for PRN and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, was calling one of the hot turns today, turns 1, 2, and 3. Let's talk about SVG right off the bat, Nick, since he's the topic of the moment. Can you, to the naked eye, notice anything different when the 88 was flashing by you as opposed to anybody else?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's car control. I mean, it's you're watching everybody else come out of turns 1 and 2 sideways, and his car was just supremely planted throughout the course of the day. And you know, it's just kind of a bizarre race in the sense that everybody was chasing it a little bit when it came to the tire wear. It was significant compared to previous years, and Shane Van Gisbergen just did a great job of keeping the rear tires underneath his car. And I think over the course of a long run, not spinning those tires, keeping that car planted right in the racing line. Yeah, those are the things that you can notice that he does a little bit better than everybody else. So it was impressive.
Look, as much as Doug and I can joke about us making predictions last week on the show and knowing that, you know, he was going to be really good here, it wasn't a foregone conclusion because there were times in this race where there were cars that were in front of him in the running order. Was he just toying with them? Was he biding his time? You know, what do you think was going on there exactly?
No, I'm with you because, listen, coming into the weekend, he was definitely the 800-pound New Zealand gorilla in the room, right? Like, everybody knew that he was the favorite, and sometimes that gorilla squashes everybody. But today, guys like Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell definitely put up a good fight in two different ways. One, by pace, roughing him up a little bit on the restarts. But then also, I was really impressed with the pit work by both Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell's crew. They got those two drivers on and off pit lane very quickly and were able to build gaps. But inevitably, there was no stopping Shane Van Gisbergen. Kyle Larson had like a 5 or 6 second gap. Didn't matter at the end of the day.
Wouldn't it be like an 8,000-pound kiwi instead of gorilla?
I don't know if there are gorillas native to New Zealand. I don't know.
That's a big kiwi,
that
by the way.
That would be a big kiwi that bird,
is,
yeah.
What would you rather be tackled by, an 8,000-pound kiwi or 10,000 ducks? I don't know.
I'm not sure.
But it is odd the place that he has ascended to now. He's talked about in the same breath with Jeff Gordon. And is it sacrilege for me to say that I feel like Shane Van Gisbergen may be a better road course driver at his zenith than Gordon was when he was knocking them all down?
I really don't think it is. And it all comes back to when NASCAR introduced this new car. It's so similar to the V8 supercars that he was so good winning championships over in New Zealand and Australia. It just suited him so perfectly. So everybody is catching up, and they will eventually when they get used to this car. But he has the upper hand, and it's really, really special stuff. So, no, he belongs on the short list of some of the greatest road course racers this sport's ever seen.
And you just said it there. I was going to ask you before you mentioned it about people who say, well, eventually, you know, the guys in the Cup Series, the best stock car drivers in the world, are going to catch up to him. But I'm not sure that's going to happen anytime soon.
Well, and the other thing is they're going to get better, but so is he.
Yeah,
and so is Trackhouse Racing, and he's going to continue to gel with his crew chief. So, yes, it's chasing a moving target, and it's going to be very tough.
We're going to have some of your broadcast cohorts on here on the show a little bit later on, but it felt like, even though it was a runaway, that at times today he got pushed.
For sure, especially on some of the restarts. I really liked the strategy of Christopher Bell and Kyle Larson getting up on the wheel and roughing them up a little bit. I mean, racing can be a contact sport sometimes, and you know, using them up and getting that track position, try to get out in front of him. I thought it was a good strategy, but ultimately, man, the pace that he had throughout the course of the day was just so strong. But I think we saw some some last-ditched efforts by some guys of, hey, this is the final road course race of the season, final opportunity to try to get the best of Shane Van Gisbergen. Let's try to use him up a little bit. And when even that's not successful, it's a helpless feeling.
Look, I think the thing that makes the Roval as a cutoff race specifically in the playoffs such an interesting race to watch is because, yes, you're watching what's happening in the lead as you are in every race. And Shane, you know, it looked like, again, he was going to be the one to take the victory. But you had all these other storylines. And the way things played out on the last lap between Ross Chastain and Joey Logano, I mean, that was something to see.
I mean, it was almost it was the road course version of what Ross Chastain tried at Martinsville a couple years ago of throwing it up on the outside wall. Yeah, he knew that he was down a couple points. It was a last-ditch effort. I was glad to see that Denny Hamlin didn't appear to be too upset with Ross using him up there. Ultimately, they were both Denny was certainly okay on points. But, yeah, it didn't work. But to see both those guys throw it in reverse and back it across the finish line was interesting.
I may have asked you this before, but it always pops into my head, especially when the folks from IMS Radio come and join PRN for these broadcasts. Would you like to see an IndyCar race on the Roval? Do you think it would be a good, interesting show?
I would love to see a race, yeah. How it would race, I don't know. We were talking a little bit before the segment. I like that SMI readapted turn number 7 and turned that into a hairpin. It's created a really good passing opportunity, really good opportunity for the drivers to lean on each other. Indy cars, they can't lean on each other. You know, they got the wings and everything, and the open-wheel cars, you can't have a lot of contact. And I think this road course probably lends itself to, 8 tires are better than 4, the passing strategy. But I'd still love to see a race. I'd love to see IndyCar come down to Charlotte.
I'm curious, just because of what you do, you know, all the time with IndyCar racing, what your thoughts are on, and I'm going in a totally different direction here, but what your thoughts are on NASCAR running San Diego next year. I think that's going to be such a cool thing for the series and for everything. And your road course announcing background, yeah. I think you got to think that's pretty cool. Huh?
Oh, I think it's fantastic. I mean, clearly NASCAR hit on something going to the streets of Chicago. And I think they've realized, hey, we can pick this traveling circus up and take it to other bigger markets. So I think you tie in the military angle of it all and the fact that it's going to be a massively long circuit as well, very, very fast. Yeah, I think it's going to be a great show, and I think it's cool to kind of integrate there in the San Diego market.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you come south here and play on the Roval with the rest of your IMS teammates. And what else you got left this year?
I'll be out in Las Vegas with you there to close out the season, and looking forward to 2026.
Well, I'm tagging along on the coattails of the PRN crew going out to the PA, so look forward to seeing you out there hanging out at the South Point. Nick Yeoman from IMS Radio and PRN back with more post-Roval Fast Talk after this.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market, performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
I'm Denny Hamlin, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, that's I'm why glad we're here. So, wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference.
Fast Talk, the post Roval edition of Fast Talk here at Charlotte Motor Speedway in the PRN studios. Doug Rice, and I'm joined by two of my comrades and good friends from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network, the anchor for IMS Radio, Mark James, and of course, Michael Young, who plays a lot of different roles over there, was a turn announcer today. Mark, I'm going to start with you. Can you believe it's been almost a decade now that this was the eighth running of the Roval?
The hat I'm wearing, I got the very first year, as a matter of fact. And it's a cool event. I mean, we have kind of blended our families for a number of years now. And I remember the first time we did this, there was a lot of trepidation, I guess, but it all came together beautifully. And it's just a kick to be down here for sure.
Michael, I know there's some magic to calling ovals and turns because I listened to you call the Indianapolis 500. But there's also something kind of cool about being a turn announcer and a part of an ensemble at something like the Roval, isn't there?
It's amazing, the two entities, when we blend them together, and the amount of respect that not only we at the IndyCar Radio Network have for everyone at Performance Racing Network, but the fact that you're able to work with such talented individuals and to be able to call a turn here at the Roval, Charlotte Motor Speedway. One of my favorite parts is you can see so much of this track. Mm. And I think fans, if you've never been, you really can't grasp how much racing action you can actually see from any place in the grandstand. It's just, there's so much that you can see and do. You can follow your favorite driver all the way around all 17 turns, or you can focus in on battles and follow them all the way around. It's just such a unique place.
Mark James, you've seen a lot of great racers. Have you seen anybody as adept on road courses as what SGV exhibits in a stock car?
No, I don't think so. And, you know, let's face it, NASCAR has had some pretty incredible road racers over the years, some very well-respected road racers. But along comes this guy and raises the bar, and raised the bar he has because, I mean, he's got guys, you know, trying to figure out exactly what he's doing and how he's doing it. Nobody's been able to close that gap yet. And it's interesting that we have a season where he's been dominant on road and street courses, and you have the success that you've had with the youngsters of the Truck Series and also the Xfinity Series. And we had a dominant year in the NTT IndyCar Series with a driver ran off and hid from everybody. I mean, parity's a good thing, but I think also when you get these great stories with these dominant drivers, it's a good thing too.
You got to call some good battles today, especially between Larson and SVG, and he had to battle a couple of other folks. But did you ever at any one time feel like the outcome was going to be different than what we saw? Mark?
No, I think what it boils down to, and it's a cliche, and, you know, we do this long enough, we have a file drawer full of them. I mean, nobody else could win it. He had to lose it.
Michael?
Same thing. It was one of those situations, especially when he got in that third position on one of the final restarts, and Kyle Larson got around him, Christopher Bell got around him, Chris Buescher was there battling as well. It was interesting to watch him once he settled into that third position. And he just sat there, and then he sat there lap after lap, and you're like, what's going on? And then finally you saw him in his head in that car. It was go time, and once it was go time, he started clipping off the drivers.
Well, guys, it's been such a pleasure integrating and being a witness to watch these two teams integrate so much, and now it feels like, Mark, it moves without friction when people from IMS come to PRN and the exact opposite.
Well, a lot of it's got to do with your folks because we've never, ever felt like guests here. We've always felt like part of the family, and we thoroughly look forward to this every year.
Guys, you cover Indy. I live mostly in the NASCAR world, but both of you follow NASCAR. Is there right now a transcendent race car driver that can be, Michael, I'll let you go first, that can be, dare I say, Jeff Gordon-ish, that the general public knows, that could go on Saturday Night Live and you wouldn't have to run a crawl for everybody to figure out who it is? I'm not saying is there one now. Can there be one? And if so, who might that be?
It's going to be a lot more difficult to find that driver in this day and age, because everything is so diluted that for people to watch just one single sport and to follow it every week, it's more difficult to do because people have so many options. As far as NASCAR goes, I think Chase Elliott is one of those guys that potentially could do that. I think Ryan Blaney's another guy that I think will become more recognizable as time goes on. Kyle Larson, I think, transcends a little bit of that major league racing because he does so very, very much. Yeah. It's so interesting just to see how things have changed in the last couple of decades. And I think that's with any sport. I think with the NFL, I think with Major League Baseball, you just don't see the familiarity for viewers like it used to be. It's just everything's so diluted. But I think if anybody's going to be able to do that and break out, it'd be one of those guys.
Yeah, I would say that Kyle Larson is mm-hmm. the closest, in my opinion, and for the reasons that already have been stated. I mean, you know, you can see him racing on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night somewhere. That's kind of a throwback to the Andretti and Foyt and the Unser days of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But in terms of somebody that really it goes outside of motorsports and grabs the public's interest like an Earnhardt or a Gordon or like a Foyt or an Andretti, I don't know. It's just a lot different world than it was in those days, right, Doug. It really is.
Guys, don't laugh. You're going to laugh. The last person in my mind that had that opportunity was Danica.
Yeah.
If she had been even marginally successful,
yeah,
she would have been the next huge tidal wave thing.
Yeah.
But it was so bad that there was nothing to build on.
Yeah,
and
that's
I'm
right.
not a Danica hater by any stretch of the imagination, but that was an opportunity to have a transcendent star in my mind.
I think in 2005, in the Indianapolis 500, and I was a fan then, I wasn't working right. for the radio network, I don't think I'd ever heard a reaction to a driver taking the lead of that race more so than when she took the lead of the Indianapolis 500. And when she came over to NASCAR and won the pole for the Daytona 500, the opportunity was there.
Yeah.
And I think if she was billed as, and I hate to say this, as a villain, if she would have accepted that role instead of being somebody that was a positive role model,
right.
she had that way about her that fans didn't really like her. So if she would have accepted that and taken that
leaned
to the next,
it, yeah.
yeah, and leaned into it, that may have taken her to the next level. But I agree with you. I think she was probably the last one that had that opportunity.
If you go back before 2005 to when she won Twin Ring Motegi,
yep.
That's when I really thought she was going to take yep. off and explode, because that's what got you in the first segment on even the newscast nationwide,
right.
you know, and got you on CNN and all the networks and whatnot.
And she came to NASCAR, and I've never seen, it was phenomenal. I hosted an event at Bristol Motor Speedway before the night race, and it was a huge tent, probably held 3,000 people. She was the first driver out of 8 or 9, and there were big drivers behind her. I mean, Dale Earnhardt Jr. and lots of other folks. She was on first. I interviewed her. I turned around to get the next guest to come up on stage. Half the people were gone.
Yeah.
Yep. Little girls, as when we covered her in IndyCar, loved her. And they would line up to meet her. And that was the big opportunity. That's a good point. I never really thought about it, but Danica was probably the last one that transcended. And look at what she's doing now in Formula One. She transcended
yeah.
everything.
And she's still in the news yep. for some of her politics, but if there had been even minor success, she truly would have been that person. Mark, it's been a good while since you guys invited me to come up and play on the IMS radio network as a pit reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was because somebody else had to move over and take a TV job or something. And to see what has happened between the two radio networks today really, really warms my heart.
Yeah, you and I go back quite a ways.
We
worked the pits together a long time ago at places like Atlanta and Pikes Peak International Raceway. And
can't just roll up in there.
We worked together at Dover. We remember those days. And I remember the first time that we actually came to the PRN family was when you had the one-off at Kentucky Speedway.
Yeah.
And you had the cup race that weekend was in New Hampshire, and you thought, well, rather than try to get everybody there, why don't I just invite a handful of you guys down to join us at Kentucky? We did that, what, 6-7 years, I think.
Right,
and just
right,
had a ball doing it. And then I'll never forget when you broached the subject of the Roval, and couldn't say yes fast enough.
And that's kind of where, at the Kentucky Speedway, where I discovered how good Doug Turnbull was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the backstory on that, I knew Doug, and he had done some turns and some other things for us. He had never worked in the booth. And he came up there and was working in the booth on that first race for us. And I'm thinking, I hope this works.
I made this observation about Doug Turnbull. When he is walking through the garage area, when he doesn't have the microphone on, there is no bigger NASCAR fan in this world than Doug Turnbull. Yeah. But when he turns the mic on, he is the consummate pro. And he is also one of the absolute nicest people that I've ever had the pleasure of meeting.
You know, it's nice when you get in that for that role. I got to hire people for a long time to hire nice people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's just life's too short to have people in the mix that are creating tension.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
When you did the double, what was it like working the Indianapolis 500? Because you talked to us, it's such an honor to work a cup race. What was it like to work the Indianapolis 500?
It was unreal. It was almost surreal. Alexis Erickson on our team was up there with us, sort of documenting all this for social. And we got up that morning, and they had the caravan, which we don't have in NASCAR, that took us to the racetrack. And I got there, and the backstory on that is everybody says, hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. You know, so the night before, I'm drinking water and Gatorade and didn't go to the bar and have a beer because you want to be fully hydrated. Well, I got there, and by about 2 o'clock into the race, I realized the one thing I hadn't done was eat.
Yeah.
Crazy going around stealing bananas out of the team cars. It is the single coolest moment I ever had in motorsports, but it was almost so big while it was going on, I couldn't grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
And I tried to squeeze every minute out of it.
I will say this, growing up as a NASCAR fan, and I was more a NASCAR fan than I was an open wheel fan, I would go, my parents lived at the time in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I would go down and see them. There was a mortician who would get my dad tickets for the spring and fall race. We would pay big money for the spring race, even though you didn't really need to. That was an easier ticket to get the tickets for the fall race. He'd pack a ham sandwich, and we would listen to PRN on our way into the track every year. And I said, wouldn't it be neat someday to work with Doug Rice and Mark Garrow? That would be
That's
a
cool.
dream come true. Yeah.
I'm glad you got to recognize that, and it was kind of cool to be in the shadows today when Mark Garrow did his last broadcast here.
100%.
Mark's another guy that's a pro, and I've told a lot of people this. We're different people. We are different people, but when the light went on and the race started, it just worked.
I think what the two of you, and I hope you take away from your careers as much as anything, is the reverence and the respect that this entire SMI organization has for the two of you and, you know, what they have heaped upon you in terms of praise and appreciation for the careers that you've had and what you've brought to their family and all of these people that you put together with this deal. Good things happen to people who are lucky enough to be friends with Doug Rice.
Well, I appreciate that. That really means a lot. Yeah. And God bless me with people that we can surround ourselves with and be proud of. It just takes one to jam up the gears. And when you don't have that one, life can be a lot of fun.
The skill is having an eye for it. And clearly you do, my friend.
Well,
you built quite a product here.
Now I get to go back and watch somebody else do that. So, guys, thanks a lot. Appreciate you so much.
Okay? Thanks, Doug.
Coming up, the winner of the Bank of America Roval 400, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. That's 800-419-1971.
I'm Alex Bowman, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice of PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk. We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN. Always special when we get to do Fast Talk post races at Charlotte Motor Speedway. This one, of course, was the Bank of America Roval 400, won by Shane Van Gisbergen, who has been nice enough to drop by the studio for a quick interview after it was all done. 5 wins in one season. Let's talk about the big picture before we zero in on today. Is that number real to you right now?
Yeah, it's awesome. Excellent day. Really cool to add to it, and been working hard on everything, but our road course stuff's getting better and better, so it's pretty special to execute all of them and all but one, and amazing year.
You know, Justin Marks brought you over to this program because he knew what you were capable of on road courses. You know, obviously, I'm sure you knew that this was something you were capable of too, but is there some vindication in that too, knowing, okay, well, this is what he brought me for and I'm able to accomplish it for him?
I don't know. It's awesome to repay him. Amazing what he did and believed in me to bring me over here and know that I could be successful. And he was obviously very patient. Start of the year, it was a difficult start, especially on the ovals. And yeah, just his support and belief in me and also the 88 team is, what an amazing guy. And then hopefully these races have gone away to repay him a bit.
Shane, when it was all said and done, you won by this big margin, almost 16 seconds. But it looked like you really had to put in a lot of work today to win by this one, especially for a great battle there for 3 or 4 laps with Kyle Larson. Describe what was going on there.
Yeah, I believe we had something not quite right, whether we changed something, started stage 3. So all of a sudden, I just couldn't take off, and I had no grip, and they both passed me. They were driving really well, but I kept slipping back through the field. 3rd and 4th were catching, and it was a real battle. And then as soon as we put the next set of tires on, I was just back to normal. And so not sure if we had a dud set of tires or we misjudged something. And then, the last 2 stages, the car was awesome again. And I had the speed advantage back and great racing with Kyle and Christopher. They were both driving well and got pretty aggressive. But hopefully that made it good to watch.
I saw Larson got up on 2 wheels there when he got by you over in the chicane on the back stretch.
Yeah, he bunted me pretty good, but maybe I deserved it. I don't know, but I haven't watched it back, but I had a lot of fun, and hopefully it made it a good race.
It feels like when we watch you on road courses that when things like that happen and you get into these battles that you stay calm, you kind of back off a little bit and you reset and it didn't feel like that in the car, but it feels like that sometimes watching it, that you can like see the bigger picture and know, okay, well, if I do this, then I can regroup and go back at them. And usually that works. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. I just go flat out. But I think the second time or the last time I got back to him, I caught him so fast, he kind of just put the white flag up, So that was a cool feeling when he just let me go and kind of gave up. And then that's when you're away. So then I spent the next 10 laps praying the white flag wasn't going to come out. Or the yellow flag, sorry.
So you knew kind of mentally at one point, okay, he's done. I've accomplished this.
Yeah, when he just let me through the next time, I knew it was over. But the battles before that, he was charging hard and the 20 caught back up to us again. And it was amazing racing. So But yeah, at the end, I think he just ran out of tire.
It seemed like every time you made a pass today, it was in the hairpin. Do you feel like that was your strongest part of the racetrack?
No, I think the back straight was probably where I made the most passes. We were really strong there in the second stage where we had to start in the mid-pack. And yeah, into the back straight chicane, I could outbrake people there. My car was really strong under brakes.
It doesn't seem that long ago, the first Chicago street course race, when here's this guy from New Zealand, comes out of literally nowhere. The TV announcers couldn't even pronounce your name correctly. So that's kind of how you got SVG hung on you, I think. To now winning 5 road course races in a row, what has that small snippet of time been like for you, Shane?
My life's changed. Yeah, it's been amazing. I was happily racing V8 supercars in Australia. And when the opportunity came up to come over here last year, and yeah, I'm glad I did it. It was a huge risk, I think, and it's paid off really well, and I'm loving my racing more than ever.
You know, and we obviously know that we don't only race road courses here in NASCAR, but you have really, I think, gained a lot of experience on the ovals, and you're starting to see that pay off. And I think especially when we go back to ovals this year for the second time, you have that more experience, you have that playbook. How is that feeling for you?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. It's all experience and time. All these tracks are new to me, and they look easy on paper, but there's not. There's so many little details about the tracks which makes them work, and it's going to take me time to keep getting better, and I really feel like we have. I think our last few weeks we've been fast, and we've shown glimpses from mid-year onward, and now it's finally starting to come together.
And I guess in some ways it's like, I know you're looking forward to some time off, but it's like, can February get back around here soon enough, and let's go back at this again?
Yeah, I love racing, so I want to keep racing, but it's a tough season. I find it doesn't get stale. Like the next 3 weeks, for example, where mile and a half, super speedway, short track, I feel like there's so much variety that it doesn't get boring, but it's a grueling year, especially on all the mechanics and teams. Yeah. Well,
I've got to applaud you, by the way. A lot of people don't know this. You took time out from what has got to be a busy schedule to come here to Charlotte Motor Speedway and run a Legends car race. Yeah. Was that just for fun, or was that to working on turning left a little more?
It's a bit of everything. It's just more experience, and all these guys, they did this when they were kids. They came and raced those Legend cars when they were 10, 12 years old. So I'm just so far behind on that stuff. I need experience, and plus it was a lot of fun doing it every Tuesday. Yeah.
I think it's so cool when the stars of our sport do something that's unique to them, and something that you do that's unique to you that you started was taking a rugby ball and kicking it and signing it, kicking it into the stands. Two-part question, where did and when did that come about, pop into your mind? And then second, do you ever worry that you're not going to make it?
It's one of my biggest fears was if I ever won on an oval, getting it over the fence. Yeah. And I know today wasn't an oval win, but it was on an oval, and the fence is really high, so I was shitting myself. It wasn't going to go over, but it did. But yeah, that's just the track house thing. Someone come up with it, and, you know, Ross smashes the watermelon, Daniel does the pinata, and, you know, I kick a rugby ball, which is our national sport. So it's cool to, you know, pay the respect to home, I guess.
I think you could get, like, Dick's Sporting Good to sponsor your car.
Yeah, well, we're trying to get a custom rugby ball by Gilbert, who makes the balls, and that'll be cool to just, if they're only balls that I kick over, that'd be cool for people to get.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you guys are working on that. Shane, thanks a lot for dropping by. I know you've had a very long day, and it was a challenging race, but congratulations on 5 road course victories this year. You got all but the first one, man. That's a great accomplishment.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Shane Van Gisbergen, the winner of the Bank of America Roval 400.
Auckland, New Zealand is a long, long ways away from Charlotte, North Carolina, but today may be the day Shane Van Gisbergen calls the Roval his home away from home. He'll head to turn number 10 for the final time.
Here comes the leader into turn number 10, Shane Van Gisbergen, left now, back to the right of turn 11. Exits turn number 12. He's going to climb the 24-degree banking one last time here at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. Here comes your leader, Shane Van Gisbergen.
Again, no traffic up ahead for Shane Van Gisbergen. For the playoff contender, Shane was the pain that never went away. Van Gisbergen is going to win the Bank of America Roval 400. Second place, Kyle Larson, is nowhere in sight. Van Gisbergen has won 5 straight road races in 2025.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Hi, this is PRN's Brett McMillan. You know, you don't spend your life just sitting around, so what you need is PRN's mobile app. By downloading the mobile app, you can listen to our live race broadcast from anywhere. Make sure you don't miss a second of the action from the track. If you download it today, you get station listening and on-demand access to your favorite studio shows like Fast Talk, Pit Reporters, or Garage Pass. Get all the latest racing information at your fingertips with the PRN mobile app. Download today. Available at the Apple App Store and on Google Play.
I'm Bubba Wallace, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple. Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on goprn.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
Thanks to all the folks that have been on the show so far. Mark James, Michael Young, Nick Yeoman, Mark Garrow, Shane Van Gisbergen, as we told you. Cecil B. DeMille's production here with a cast of thousands. Alexis, we have four races to go and eight drivers still in the running for the 2025 championship. We've alluded to it, but let's break it down by the numbers.
Okay, so Denny Hamlin currently sits at the top of the leaderboard with plus eight. Then you have Ryan Blaney at plus six, Kyle Larson at plus four, tied with William Byron at plus four. Christopher Bell is the first one below the cut line now that we reset after this cutoff race. He's minus four. Chase Briscoe is minus 14. Chase Elliott is also minus 14. And Joey Logano minus 24. You know, I think the biggest thing that I take away from this, and Mark Garrow alluded to it when we talked to him, is these are the powerhouses right here.
Yeah, you know? That's the big three.
This is your Gibbs, your Hendrick, and your Penske.
Yep. Nobody else got invited to the final eight party.
And I don't know that we expected anybody to.
I don't really think so.
I mean,
maybe Trackhouse could have snuck in Chastain, but he self-destructed today.
He did.
Ross Chastain has no one but himself to blame, and he said that. That's not me and you bringing that on him. He said that. He said, I blew my opportunities today.
It was written all over his face in post-race. Yeah. He knew that the only person that lies with is him. You know, the speeding penalty and everything that happened on pit road, just not what's going to get you into the next round.
And he missed a couple of shifts. Things that you just don't do. And I know he'd play that back a million times, but you don't get but one chance to do it. And he's out of the playoffs. And the other thing that Mark said that I thought was huge, and I had not thought about it, was Denny Hamlin probably wouldn't have passed Chastain had they laid that out and said, no, let him stay in front of you. And that way Logano was out.
Yeah, that was a kind of a mind-opening moment for me, too, when he said that. Because I was like, you are absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because nobody, I mean, even last year when you had all the controversy after this race with Alex Bowman being DQ'd and then Joey Logano getting in, the first thing I think we even said on this show when we found that news out was you don't want to let Joey Logano into the round of eight because he is so scary, especially at our very next race, which is Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
And that's what we'll preview next.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
I'm Ryan Blaney, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. Join me each week for the True Reporters Roundtable, known as the Pit Reporters.
This is not what we're used to and accustomed to seeing. That, I think, with a backdrop, is why a lot of fans are a bit sour on Denny.
He still wants to play that role that now Denny has taken on, but him and the A car haven't had the same success. You can't be the villain, and it doesn't really work as well if you're not winning, and Denny Hamlin is doing just that.
Check us out each week on the Performance Racing Network.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 Americans are sick of the divisions in our country? But there's one small step we can take to remember that we're still connected. All over America, strangers with different political views are coming together to talk about their lives, not politics, and discovering they actually have a lot in common. Because even if we don't see eye to eye, we can still talk heart to heart. So let's talk for a change. Learn more at takeonesmallstep.org.
Putting the final brush strokes on this special edition of Fast Talk, and as Alexis likes to say, inside baseball, we do this show pretty much within the shadow of the finish of the race. And that allows everybody to take, after a very, very long day at the racetrack, a day off on Monday. But it also gives us access to having the drivers and parts of the broadcast crew here who are on PRN on the show. So there's a little bit of trade-off there.
These are, between this show and the one that we do in May post Coca-Cola 600, they are two of my favorite shows of the year. Even though in May we're here doing it at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Inevitably.
They are two of my favorite shows because it's not every day that we get to have all of these people in studio here talking face-to-face, especially the winners. So always thankful to Charlotte Motor Speedway, Scott Cooper, Jonathan Coleman, the PR team here that give us that opportunity.
And congrats to Shane Van Gisbergen. A little bit of emptiness because he doesn't get to advance in the playoff.
Yeah.
Had he been good enough, Alexis, in that first round, this was the magic bullet. He was going to come here and win and go on to the round of eight. But they were miserable in that first three races.
Yeah, it really would have been a story. Having him in the round of eight would have been a fantastic story. But yeah, they are getting better. As we talked to him about, they are getting better on the ovals, but they really need to continue to hone that craft.
And they can't rely on this next year because we have no idea what the point system will be next.
That is a good point.
And NASCAR, if they know, they're not telling anyone.
That's a very good point.
All right, PRN packs up and heads to Las Vegas, Nevada. So what does it look like out there?
Well, obviously, we're going to be staying at the lovely South Point Hotel and Casino that we just love the folks over there. We are going to be on the air Saturday for practice and qualifying, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Then we have the Xfinity race that night, 7 p.m. Eastern. And Sunday, we have the South Point 400, again, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. You're going to be out there on the PA.
I will be.
Very exciting for you.
Working the public address system. Look forward to that. By the way, this show is brought to you in part by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. For Alexis Erickson, David Stiles, and Kent Bernhardt, I'm Doug Rice. We'll be back next week with a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.